to hear. I appreciate very much that you kept the instructions and enabled it to be in terms of marking it. In terms of Tarovis, first just a list of Svarim, not that you have to purchase or even read, but simply know they exist. We were used to the Shach and the Taz, quoting the Levush, the Ateres Zahav, that will continue. Quoting the Torah Sabayis, that will certainly continue. But there are Svarim which, in the realm of Iser Veheter, are quoted much more often, and you should be aware of their existence. The first is the Sha'arei Dura. The Sha'arei Dura was written, it's a very, very small sefer, it's just the center of the page. It's mamash like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that was written by Rav Yitzchok Midura, who was a Talmud of the Maharam Mirutenberg, the Rishon. And what happened was that in Ashkenaz it turned into the Sefer Psak of Iser Veheter, and so later Poskim wrote their Perushim on the Sha'arei Dura. So you have on the side of the Sha'arei Dura Hagaot, that are generally the Hagaos of Rav Yisrael Iserlin, the Baal HaTrumas HaDeshen, and you have Mechonot Vateret Shlomo, which is the Maharshal. So the Rishonei Ashkenaz, the late Rishonei Ashkenaz, wrote around the Sha'arei Dura, to the degree that when the Ramah decided to deal with Iser Veheter, he put out a sefer called Toras Chatos, and in the Hakdama to the Toras Chatos of the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, the Mapa on the Shulchan Aruch, he points out that the problem is that everyone uses the Sha'arei Dura. It's much too short, and the Perushim that were written are much too lamdush, and no one understands what to do Alach L'maisa. So he wrote a sefer called Toras Chatos, which would be his kitzur of Hilchos Iser Veheter. So occasionally we will have stiros between the Toras Chatos and the Ramah, and the Toras Chatos certainly will be very, very heavily quoted by the Shach and the Taz. So the Toras Chatos is the Ramah, okay? And he wrote the sefer because he found that the Sha'arei Dura, the Hagos HaMahari, the Hagos HaMarshal, on the Sha'arei Dura were very difficult. Sometimes you will find something quoted, Kosav HaMaharshal B'Iser Veheter Shalo. The Iser Veheter of the Maharshal are his Hagos on the Sha'arei Dura. Now, a lot of people wrote Svarim called Iser Veheter, but there's one Sefer which is called Iser Veheter Ha'aruch, which was written by another Talmud of the Trumas HaDeshen, Rav Yonah. He's written over here, Rav Yonah Gerundi. This is not Rav Yonah Gerundi of Sha'arei Tshuva fame. This is a Talmud of the, in other words, it's a late Rishon, a Talmud of the Baal HaTrumas HaDeshen. And so you'll have, you'll have a machlokas between the Iser Veheter and the Sha'arei Dura. Right? But you're dealing, these are all the safrut within Ashkenaz. That's what we have over here in terms of the late Rishonim that you'll find quoted constantly in the Shach and the Taz. Then in terms of Achronim, there's an Achron that just came out, right? Shirei HaRav, that I'll try to, the first time I'm seeing it in print, so I'll try to relate to whatever Chidushim the Rav has on what we're learning. However, the Prima Gadim, when he builds his Perush, so he points out, Pesach Hashar, when he has a Hakdama to his Hakdama of Hilchos Taroves, Amar HaKosev Ro'isi L'Minchas Kohen, L'Rav Avraham Mi Pimentil, Hifli La'asot V'Herat Tokfo Gvurato B'Sefer HaTaroves. That there exists a Sefer Taroves. This is a very, very clear edition of the Sefer Taroves of the Baal Minchas Kohen. The Baal Minchas Kohen, one of the chapters of his book is this Sefer HaTaroves. He was a Rav in Turkey. He has Askama from Yitzhak Abuhav, from Amsterdam, in other words. And he tried to give an overview of Hilchos Ta'arovas and pretty much deal with section by section, trying to give background material in terms of anyone who wants to learn Hilchos Ta'arovas. What I did, if you can pass these out, In the back of this edition of Sefer HaTaroves, which was put out by the Eshkol Publishing Company, there was, at the time he wrote it, a young individual named Rav Yosef Shalom Halevi Weinfeld, who likes to make charts. So he took the entire Sefer HaTaroves of the Minchas Kohen, and he made charts, some 16, 17 charts, putting the entire Taroves into various charts. But in the course of his making charts, he pointed out that really there is a sikum of Taroves, which is not an entire book, but simply a page in the Tiferes Yisrael. And the Tiferes Yisrael, in his Perush HaMishnayis, has at the end of Perek Zayin of Chulin, where you have the sugyas of Taroves, he summarizes all of Hilchos Taroves. So he made a tavla, he made a chart of the summary of the Tiferes Yisrael of Hilchos Taroves. So just to give you an overview of what we'll be doing, I just photostated for you this summary. When it says over here in the small letters, Tavla Yud Aleph, Tavla Yud Beis, Tavla Gimel, Tavla Dalet, that's to the other Tavlaot that he has in his Sefer. But you can leave those out. Simply, we have a concept of Bitul Barov, Bitul B'Ta'am, Yavesh B'Yavesh, Blach B'Lach, just puts things into a nice order. When do we have a problem din of Bitul B'Ta'am in terms of Tam Lefgam, Timas Kfeila, Bitul Deshishim, and then those things that are not batel, betam, for whatever reason, and it gives a list. Anyway, so pretty much, you have over here a nice summary of what we're going to be covering from Siman Sadichet to Siman Kufyud. Okay, so it's I'm giving the copyright to Rav Weinfeld, but this is not one of the charts that he made on the Sefer HaTaroves. He just put it in a chart he made on the Sikum of the Tiferes Yisrael. So there's not that much of a chochmah over here, so I hope I'm not going against any copyrights by photostating it for you. The Sefer HaTaroves, the Prima Gaudim works off of the Sefer HaTaroves. His whole hakdama is basically saying, Minchas Kohen wrote kach v'kach, and I say kach v'kach. The Minchas Kohen wrote kach v'kach, and I say kach v'kach. The other Acharon, which is quoted by the Prima Gaudim quite often, is the Minchas Yaakov. You have the Minchas Kohen and the Minchas Yaakov. The Minchas Yaakov is a... It's not in here. And in the classic Torah Sachatos, not the one I brought up here, there are another two downstairs in the Beis Medrash. In the classic one, so the Perush on the Torah Sachatos is the Minchas Yaakov. Over here it has a different Perush called Torah So'osham, that's of the Baal Tosfos Yontif, but the classic one has, so the Minchas Yaakov and the Minchas Kohen, those are the two achronim that will be quoted both in the Prima Gaudim, Piskei Tshuva, Gilin Amar Shefil on the side, the Rabbi Kiveger, and with those are the achronim that dealt with Taroves, sort of specialized in Hilchos Taroves. Okay, so that's what we have as a background in terms of Svarim. What we're going to do now, with your permission, is to give a hakdama, which is a hakdama to the charts. We said after we give today's hakdama, then hopefully the charts will be more meaningful. Then the it'll be easier to move over into the world of Taroves, and we'll start with that which is a little more familiar to us, and then move over into territory which, for most of us, is not as familiar. I include myself because I tend to forget from time to time that I learned Yeridea, so I may remember a little more than you, what you learned when you were gestating, but b'chol zot, I have to learn it again as well. We'll talk about bitul, because that's what Taroves is all about. Right? You have a mixture, and we have to know whether this mixture is mutar or osar, and so we need to come up to a concept of bitul. So the pasuk in the Torah that deals with bitul is achrei rabim lahatos. That we have a rule of thumb, majority rules. We go after the majority. And over here, I want to talk about three types of rov, two of which are familiar. Ruba de lesa kamon is first type. Ruba de isa kamon, second type. And then we move over to the rov in a ta'aroves. And the question is, that third rov, that we're going to be spending the next 2 months on, 3 months on, how does that rov at ta'aroves relate to ruba de lesa kamon and ruba de isa kamon? Is it a new category altogether, or is it simply an offshoot of one of the previous categories? So, as you recall, Hilchos Shlita, which wasn't all that long ago that you learned, particularly when we dealt with Siman Aleph, we dealt quite extensively with the concept of Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Rov Mesimetz al Shchita Mumchim Heim, that's Aruba Delesa Kaman. Rov Behemos Brios Hein, Aruba Delesa Kaman. Rov Behemos Nishkatos Karaoi, Aruba Delesa Kaman. The source of Aruba Delesa Kaman is a sugya in the first parak of Kulin, where the Gemara on Daf Yunamid Beis asks a very basic question. Menala Hadama Rabbanon Uki Milsa Aches Kasei. On Daf Yunamid Beis, the Gemara says, what's the Makar of Chazaka? How do you know that we go back to previous status? How do we know that that we assume that what that which was remains until we know otherwise? What's the makar midoraisa for chazaka? Once the Gemara finds a makar midoraisa for chazaka, and the Encyclopedia Talmudis has almost an entire volume on chazaka, what is the makar doraisa for chazaka? Then the Gemara then says, okay, now menoha milsa the marabanan zilba saruba. How do you know go after rope? So the guy says, what do you mean, how do you know if you go after Rov? Pasuk, Achra Abun Lahatas. The Gemara says, no. How do we know that you can be Somech on a Ruba Delesa Kamon? That's the Gemara's question. Ruba Delesa Kamon, Kagon Katan Uketana Menolan. How do we know that we can let a Yavam Katan have Yibum with the Yavama Katana? Maybe it'll turn out that the Yavam Katan is a Saris when he grows up, and that the Yavama Katana will turn out to be an Islandess. And then there was no heter of Yibum, and it's Pegia Be'eshes Ach, and it's Yisr Kares. How do we know we're allowed to be Somech on Aruba Delesa Kamon, that most Katanim will not turn out to be Sarisim, most Katanot will not turn out to be an Islandess, and that we are allowed to be Somech on that to allow them to go through the mitzvah of Yibum? What's the makar in the Torah? And the Gemara goes to Sugya from Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, through the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and there you have two dots, and it's unclear what the conclusion is. In other words, after going through a whole blot of Gemara, it's unclear what the conclusion of Gemara getting to. So Rashi offers two options. Rashi in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says, Kaner eh, either we have over here Halacha Moshe Misinai, that there's a concept of Ruba Delesa Kaman, and we don't have any makar in the Torah Sheba'al Bichsav. It's purely Halacha Moshe Misinai that we can be Somach on Aruba Delesa Kaman. Or we have over here a double limud from Acharebim Lahatos. Namely, Acharebim Lahatos not only teaches us the concept of Ruba De'isa Kaman, it even teaches us the concept of Ruba De'lesa Kaman. Lehalacha, we are Somach, in other words, our whole diet is built on the concept of Ruba De'lesa Kaman. We eat cheese, we drink milk, we eat eggs, even though we have no idea as to whether the cow or the chicken that brought about these products was treif or wasn't treif. If it was treif, kol hayotze min ha-tamei tamei, the milk is tamei, the cheese is tamei, tamei means aser ba'achila, the eggs would be aser ba'achila, beitzas treif is aser ba'achila, but most chickens are not treif, and most cows are not treif, and on that basis, we have a good part of our diet, assuming that the makar of our food is kosher, and when animals are shechted in the shlachtos, they don't check all 18 places to see if it's a treifa, because we assume that most animals do not have holes in their reyot, or I'm sorry, reyot in the krum hamoach. Most animals do not have problems in terms of their stomach linings. We're samach and ruba d'lesa kaman al pidin. We allow a katan to be miyave makatana. And we have an Isun Torah, Makei Aviv Ve'imo Mos Yumas, and we apply that if a child hits his father, even though, how do we know this is his father? His mother, we know because she gave birth to him. How do we know this is his father? Maybe someone else impregnated his mother. We have a Rov. Rov Be'ilos Eitzah HaBaal. On that basis, we bring about a Chiyuv Malkos, namely that we're... It's a working assumption throughout the halachic system, whether you're dealing with Or HaChaim or Evan HaEzer or Yoredeya or Choshe Mishpat, we're assuming that there's a principle of Ruba Delesa Kaman. The status of Ruba Delesa Kaman, as I just pointed out, in other words, is it a Birur or is it a Hachra, is it a Vado'us or not? So from the fact that we have a principle that will give Malkos to Katan, who is his father, Kanere, we're dealing over here with a Vada'ut. And that's the what's pointed out. The Shef Shmaisasa deals with this in Shmaisasa Aleph, Perak Aleph. This is the very beginning of the Shef Shmaisasa of the Ktos. Again, he returns to it in Perak Beis, Halcha Tesvav. Aruba Delesa Kaman is a Vada'ut. We have Gemara in Kedushan, Daf Ayin Gimel, Amud Aleph. that in order to have a mamzer, you need a mamzer vadai and a kohol vadai. To have a mamzer vadai, that's not too hard to find. But how do you know that we have a kohol vadai? Because we have a principle, rov bilos etzel habal, and therefore we assume that the kohol are vadai ksherim, and when this mamzer comes out of a kohol, which is vadai ksherim, then he has a status of being a mamzer. So that's already a given. Why do we view it as a vada'us? So here the Shesh Maisasa goes in the direction, the Chazon Ish says it black and white. The Chazon Ish is in Evan Ha'ezer, Simon Lamed Aleph, Sivkotan Beis. We're dealing with a different manner, but he uses the phrase over there, just to quote from him. That every ruba delesa kamon is a rove tiv'i. That there's something in nature which pushes to this rove. Right? That we have either it's a rove tiv'i biologically, rove behemos ksherosein, or it's a rove tiv'i psychologically, rove mitzumetzel shchito mumchimheim, or it's a rove tiv'i mibchana ruchanit, spiritually, in terms of if we assume that Rov Mitzvah Shri Mumchim is built in a Cheskas Kashrus, that we're talking over here about something which is built into either human nature or animal nature, physical nature. That's what the concept of Rov, the Ruba Delesa Kaman, is built on. Most women give birth at 9 months. That's a Ruba Delesa Kaman. And since it has an anchor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world of Teva, so we assume it as a vados, the same way that when the sun rises and sets, we view that as a vados. Over here, that which links into the world of Teva, we assume as a vadaut. If you recall, and with this we'll just end off this concept of Ruba Delesa Kaman, the Ramban we saw in the beginning of Chulin, who wanted to distinguish between a Mir Hamatsui and a Mir Che'en Hamatsui. When do we say a Ruba Delesa Kaman is a vados? That's if you have a Mir She'en Hamatsui. A 95-5, that we view as a vados. Masha'enken, if we're talking about a 60-40, even though it's Ruba Delesa Kaman, but 60-40, there we say that's a hachra, and then we say, call my de'ev shalom mivdak bad kinon. According to Ramban, that's why we check the lungs of the animal, because there you have a miyut hamatsui, as opposed to checking the brain membrane, where you have a miyut she'en hamatsui of trefos. Okay, that's, again, just a short summary of Ruba Delesa Kaman. Moving over to Ruba de'isa kaman, which is what we'll be dealing with at the end of Hilchos Tarovas, in terms of the order of the Machaber, Siman Kuftes, Kufyud, Kufyud Aleph, Ruba de'isa kaman. The classic example which is given is that of Tes Chanuyos. You go downtown to King George, and there are 10 falafel stands. 9 of the falafel stands have a hechsher, and one of them doesn't. And you find a falafel ball in the middle of Rehov King George. And so the question is, where did this falafel ball come from? It came from one of those 10 stores, but we don't know which of the 10 stores it came from. So we have a rule, Ach Rabim Lahatos, called the Parish, Miruba Parish. We assume it came from the 9 and not from the 1, and you can make a bracha and pop it in your mouth. Right? That's the concept of Ruba De'isa Kamon. The question is, what's the halachic status of Ruba De'isa Kamon? Is this also a birur? Is this also a vado'us, or is this a hachra'ah? And does the Chazal allow you to make such an assumption, even though it's not a vado'us? Over here, the Shev Shmaisasa and the Chazon Ish work off of Pnei Yehoshua in Kedushin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, in which he says that this is a hachra'ah. It's not a vados, it's a hachra. Namely, in the language, again, going back to the Chazon Ish, he calls this, the concept of Ruba, the Isa Kaman, that we have a 9-1 probability in terms of where this came from. He calls this the concept of Kibbutz HaMikrim. This is statistics. Namely, if we were to ask essentially, is this falafel kosher or not, it's 50-50. 50-50 means either it is or it's not. In other words, that it may have come from the kosher stores, it may have come from the non-kosher stores. We have a statistically, in terms of the laws of probability, it came from the kosher stores. However, that's what's called a ra'aya chitzonit. That's as opposed to, let's say, ruba de lesa kamon, where there's something internal in nature which pushes us to accept the ruba de lesa kamon. Over here, there's nothing natural about a ruba de isa kamon. These are simply laws by which the universe is governed, but mathematical laws of statistics. And statistics, as we all know, have limits. You know, quantum mechanics doesn't necessarily use the same system of probability as other areas of mathematics would be used. Namely, it's a hachra, it's a way of living. It's a way of dealing with situations in life. And this is the way, again, the Shesh Maises and the Chazon Ish distinguish between aruba de isa kamon and aruba de lesa kamon. Aruba de lesa kamon we view as a vado'os, at least under certain circumstances. Aruba de isa kamon we view as a hachra'a. This svara is also basically brought in the Rishonim. We have a famous sugya in Bava Metzia, on the Vav Amud Beis, dealing with tokfo kohen. What if we have a situation where we have an animal which is unclear whether it should be going to the Kohen or not going to the Kohen, and the Kohen grabs it? What's the halacha? Tokfo Kohen, motziim miyado, ein motziim miyado, depends on what kind of suffix we're dealing with. And there's a whole kuntris of the Shach called Tokfo Kohen, where he deals with the whole concept of suffix in Chazal, suffix b'halacha, suffix motzias, etc. In that sugi over there in Bava Metzia on the Vav Amud Beis, we have a situation as follows. Kofatz echad min haminyan lisochan. We're taking Meiser behema. Right? So we have a corral, and we have this little opening in the corral, and we have all these animals that are here in the corral, and they're coming out through this opening, and there's someone standing here counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And with his makel that has red ink on it, he hits the 10th one, that's Meiser behema. Okay? What happens if one of the 9 that came out, let's say 40 animals came out, we still have another 60 that are here in the deer. One of the animal that came out, that already was counted, jumps back in. He jumps back in, and we have no idea where he is. It's not one of those that has the red on his tzemer. It's one of the white, one of the whites, one of the 9, not the one, jumps back in. Kofar echad mehamenuyin minayin. So the Gemara says, they're all pater. Whatever's left in the deer is pater from Meiser Behema. Why? Because Asiri Vadei Omer Rachmana Velo Asiri Safik. That we're never going to know at this point whether our count is the right count, because we may double count. One of those already went out. We may count again, and so we're never going to get a proper count. So all of these at this point are now pater from Meiser Behema. So Tosus over there, Alatar asks, why should that be? The one that jumps back in, Liftul Beruba, let him be Batel. And once he's batel, let's continue counting. Namely, why view him as still existing and still going to make us problems? Let's simply use the principle of acharevim lahatos. And Tosas doesn't give an answer. In the Shita Mekubetzes over there, there is an answer that din of bitul barov, namely of kol deparish meruba parish, saying each one that came out is coming out of the rov, not coming out of the miut, that is only a hachra'ah. It's not a vado'os. We need asiri vadai. You're never going to get to asiri vadai built based on a ruba de isa kamon. Since whichever one comes out is not vadai, but it's a halacha, you're allowed to view it as though. So that may be very good in terms of eating it, but it's not going to help us in terms of meiser. Meiser, asiri vadai amar achmana velo asiri suffix. So we have over here already the svara of the Shef Shmaisesa, the svara of the Pnei Yoshua, of the Chazon Ish, being brought by a Rishon in the Shita Mekubetzes. That statistics, laws of probability, are just that. It's a way of life, it's a way of dealing with life, but it doesn't necessarily turn it into a vados. And this is the framework that we're going to be using as we're learning Hilchos Ta'aroves. This is our assumption. But to be intellectually honest with you, I found a number of years ago in the Shelos of Ha'elef Chashlomo, of Rav Shlomo Kluger, that he says, Pumfakert. He says, Aruba de Isa kamon, that's a vados. Aruba de Lesa kamon, that's a hachra. And he brings rayas. In other words, everyone, you could always bring rayas, lekano lasham, his rayas, which your rayas. The mainstream is what I said to you. That Aruba de Isa kamon we view as a hachra, and Aruba de Lesa kamon we view as a birur, as a vados. Okay. We'll be coming back to this later on when we get to the end of Hilchos Tarovis, where we'll have a concept of Kavua, but I'd rather hold it off till then, because to tell it to you now will simply confuse matters, as it did for many, many years when I did in the wrong order. So let's try and keep things in the right order. Okay, we have a basic idea of Ruba de Issa Kamon. We have a basic idea of Ruba de Lessa Kamon. Now we come over to Rov B'Tarovis. And Rov B'Tarovis is uniquely different than those two Rovs we're speaking about. Ruba de Lessa Kamon, what did that mean? I had 10 Shochtim standing in front of me. One of them steps forward. I want to know, is he a mumche or is he not a mumche? So I say, Robin Tzimitzel Shchita Mumchem Heim, he's a mumche. Okay? Another shoche will step in front of us. Is he a mumche or not? Robin Tzimitzel Shchita Mumchem Heim, he's a mumche. Who Adin? I have the 10 stores. I have the falafel ball. In other words, I want to know where it came from. Ruba de Issa Kamon, laws of probability is it came from a kosher store. There's nothing internal, right? This isn't something in the teva of this falafel ball, but rather it's the world of statistics that we live with. But at Tarovis, I have on this table three. I have over here. Well, they're all different, so that wouldn't help very much. But let's say I would have three pieces of identical meat. Two of them are kosher, and one of them is treif. That's a Tarovis. Ruba wrote, now in that Tarovis we say, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Achrei Rabim Lahatos means I could pick up one of these pieces and eat it. But how? How do I do that? All three pieces are on the table. In a Ruba de Issa Kamon, I have one piece on the table. We say, Kol de Parish, Ruba Parish. Here I have all three pieces on the table. Right? In other words, the whole Tarovis is in front of me. How am I somech on the concept of Bitul to eat all three pieces? How do I eat all three pieces? Sof kol sof, l'chora, the Easter is here. This is a different form, a different concept of rov. So here we have a very, very, very basic machlokas rishonim. How do we deal with the concept of rov b'ta'aroves, of bitul b'rov, that up to now we haven't dealt with? Up to now, even in this case, when Tosis asked the question, liftul b'ruba, what he meant was, as each of these comes out, we'll say, kol d'varsh m'ruba parish. Call the parasha we reproach. We're dealing with one out of the Tarovis. Here we're not taking one out of the Tarovis. We're talking about the whole Tarovis now we're saying is mutter because we have a rove of heter. How does that come about? So the Rush, Alatar meaning on the sugyas of Tarovis in the seventh parak of Chulin, in Simon Lamed Zayin, points out as follows. Avochada betray v'davar yavesh. When you have one of Iser and two of Heter on the table, gzeiras hakosavhu dechsiv achrav lahatos hilka chad betray batel v'nefach Iser lihios Heter umuter leochlan afilu kulam kaachas. We have the right of taking these three pieces that we know. One of them came from a treif animal. Two of them came from a kosher animal. Once they're in a taroves, and I can't tell which is which. I can take all three, pop them in my mouth simultaneously, and chew them, and I am a tzaddik. Right? I'm not saying I'm a chassid, I'm a tzaddik. Right? I'm being somech on the rov, achrei rabim lahatos. I'm somech on a kodesh baruch hu's pasuk of rov. The question is, like, where did that come from? The Gemara said, achrei rabim lahatos is the makar of ruba de isa kamon. The Gemara said that achrei rabim lahatos is the makar of ruba de lesa kamon. Where do we have that Achrei Lahatos is the makor of this new principle of Bitul Barov? So what's brought in the Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmua, in the stencils, right, of Reb Chaim, is a concept that we're already a bit of aware of from Hilchos Shchita, and that is that we have Tzvei Dinim of Rov, two types of Rov. One type of Rov is the Ruba de Issa Kamon / Ruba de Lessa Kamon. Namely, that rov can be a machria / mevarer. That's one form of rov. You could take those, the two, ruba de isak and ruba de lesa kamon, put them together. In both of them, the rov, the concept of rov serves to give you a birur or a hachra'a. Then we have another concept of rubo kakulo. Rubo kakulo. This has nothing to do with the world of sfeikos. It means, if I shecht rov of two simanim, it's as though I shechted the entire two simanim. If I have a rov kos, it's as though I have an entire kos. If I have a rov of a machitza, it's as though I have an entire machitza. Nothing to do with the world of sfeikos, a din of ruba kukulo. Reb Chaim wanted to say that the din of bitul berov is a din of ruba kukulo. That if I have three pieces on the table, two of them are kosher, and one of them is treif, rubo kukulo, iser nehefach lios heter, they're all kosher. Okay? That's the din of bitul berov. Bitul berov is the concept of rubo kukulo. So, the question is, that's a very nice explanation, but where does this, you know, like what's the makar of rubo kukulo that it would apply in our case? I mean, to apply rubo kukulo to a kos, to apply it to a machitza, to apply it to a siman. Okay, we have a din of rubo kukulo. We want to apply it now to the world of Suffolk. We want to say, because I don't know which is which, so I'll go say rubo kukulo and eat all three. How do you know you can do that? So over here, the Chora Reb Chaim learned it out from a diuk in the Gemara. If we go back to the Chulin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks the question: Menaha Milsa Dama Rabbanan Zil Basar Ruba. How do you know you go after Rov? Menalan Dichsiv Acharim Lahatos. The Gemara said no. Ruba the Isa Kamon Kagon Tescha Nuyos V'Sanhedrin Lo Kami Boilan. The Gemara gives two examples of Ruba de Isa Kamon. One example is Teschanuyos, the falafel bowl, and the other is Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin means that, let's say, we have a question where I view Shimon as having stolen the notebook he's writing on from me, and Shimon claims Lahadam. So we go in front of a Bezdin, I bring my rayos, Shimon brings his rayos. Two dayonim paskin like me, and one dayan paskins like Shimon. What's the halacha? Achar rabam lahatos, I'm right. Shimon has to give me the notebook. Achar rabam lahatos? Don't we have a principle? Ein holchin b'mamon achar harov? So Tosas asked this question in Baba Kama, on daf kaf zayin amud beis. Tosas asked, how in the world can we paskin like a rov in a bezdin in the world of the Dina Mamonos? Ein holchin b'mamon, kaf zayin amud beis, ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. And Tosas answers, v'yesh lomar, dehosam gabe dayonim shayni, dechoshiv mihut didhu, kamisha eino. Tosas kaf zayin amud beis, yir maskul kamash malan, hosam gabe dayonim shayni, dechoshiv mihut didhu, kamisha eino. Namely, what is Tosas saying? What is the basis of rov in the world of Dayanim? This is Rubo Kukulo. This is Reb Chaim Al-Piyashmur. This is where he says it. That we have over here two forms of Rubo De'isa Kamon. We have a Rubo De'isa Kamon of Kol De'parish, Miru Parish, the falafel bowl. And we have another type of Rubo De'isa Kamon where I don't have a falafel bowl coming out of the stores. I have all three Dayanim in front of me. Two say Chayav. One says Pater, Rubo Kukulo. It's as though they all say Chayav. And therefore, I'm not going in Mamon after the Rov. I'm going after the Kulo. Ruba Kukulo. I have over here a unanimity. And I have three Dayanim who are paskening that Shimon owes me the notebook. Okay? That is the concept of Reb Chaim of Bitul Berov. Bitul Berov is built on Sanhedrin. That we have a Gemara that says Acher Lahatos teaches us three things. We learn from the Pasuk Acher Rabin Lahatos. We learn the din of the classic Ruba de Isa Kamon. This is what is called in other language, called the Parish, Kama, the Ruba Parish. That's one thing we learn out from Acharav Lahatos. Secondly, we learn out from Acharav Lahatos the din of Ruba de Lesa Kamon, maybe, according to one parish of Rashi, or maybe this is Halacha Moshe Misinai, that we have what we call over here a Rov Tiv'i. And because of this Rov Tiv'i, I can assume that the Shochet, the animal, this Shochet Niwil Choshkita, the animal was kosher, my cheese is kosher, my milk is kosher, etc. And then we have a concept of Rubo Kukulo. This is the din of Sanhedrin. And this we apply, to the din of Bitul B'Tarogas. This is the Rosh. The Rosh says we have Xeras HaKosuv, Achar Mulahatos, Iser Nehefach Lios Heter. Here there's no Iser Nehefach Lios Heter.
In 1 and 2, for the tape recorder, in 1 and 2, there's no Iser Nefach Yoseter. But for 3, we have Iser Nefach Yoseter. Poof! Out of the 3 pieces in which 1 was treif and 2 are kosher, Rubo Kukulo, Alpidin, all 3 are kosher. Iser Nefach Yoseter. From Sanhedrin. How do you know it's Din Sanhedrin? A, Tosus says it, right? Shehamiyut Kamisha Eino. But we have a raya from a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that we paskin like. What would be in the situation that I just gave? Okay, I claim Shimon's notebook is mine. Shimon claims, what are you talking about? It's been mine all my entire life. I bring my rayos. 2 Eidim paskin like me and 1 like Shimon. Notebook comes to me. Then it turns out that the Eidim made a mistake, that the Dayanim made a mistake. The Dayanim made a mistake. So the halacha is that the Dayanim now have to pay Shimon. They have to pay Shimon for his loss. In other words, they took away his notebook for no reason. They made a mistake. How do they pay? So the Gemara says that the 2 Dayanim who made a mistake each pay a third. What do you mean the 2 Dayanim made a mistake, each pay a third? Those 2 Dayanim caused Shimon a loss. They should each pay a half. They should each pay 50%. 50% and 50% will give him a notebook. What good? What did it mean that each pay him a third? So the svara is, the psak came out of the bezdin. There were 3 dayanim in the bezdin. The dayan who passed like Shimon shouldn't have to pay because he was correct all along. So it turns out each of them pay a third. Then with the assumption working over here, it's not that 2 dayanim caused Shimon a loss, the bezdin caused Shimon a loss. Once the bezdin passed in 2 against 1, all 3 dayanim caused Shimon a loss. But 1 dayan has a miko. He claimed, what do you mean? If they would have listened to me, we wouldn't have to pay. So therefore, even though I'm part of this judgment, once the judgment comes, it's coming out of the bezdin, not out of 2, because ein hochem amanach harov. It's coming out of the bezdin, and I'm part of that bezdin, but I'm pater from paying. So each of them pays a third. So it's clear over here that we have a din of rubo kukulo. We have a din that the 2 turn into 3. The 2 change the, in other words, the third one command alessa, that the psak is coming out of the bezdin as a whole. And therefore, unfortunately, Shimon was only going to get back 2/3 of his loss, because the 2 dayanim made a mistake will pay him for their part in the bezdin's decision. Okay, so this then, according to the Rush, is the rule of bitul barov. Bitul barov is a form of rubo kukulo, iser nefach leos heter. Okay, comes along the Rashba, and. And says something else. The Rashba is in the Torah Sabayis. In Dine Tarovis. In Bayis Revi'i. Shar Rishon. In the classic Rav Herschel's edition, it's on page Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Over there, he says as follows. How does it work that I could eat all 3 pieces that are on the table? Again, I have 2 pieces that are kosher, 1 is treif. So he says, Mestabra, the time on the mills is as follows. Hu yochol le'echol kol chaticha b'fnei atzmo, and therefore, ochol kol chaticha b'fnei atzmo. I have to pick them up one by one. Kisha ochol, so I'm taking the first piece, and he omer, go zohi asura. Let's figure the second one. Go zohi asura. V'chein b'kol achas v'achas. U'kishe'ochal ha'achrona shebekulam. I'm thinking of the third one. I already ate 2. Ani omer, v'meh shekvar ne'achal ha'yoha isur. This one is probably muter also. Where's the isur? It must have been I ate it. V'zohi shal heter. V'fikach ochel kol achas b'fnei atzma v'eino choshesh. D'keivan sheyesham shir bito mido oraisa. The mido oraisa chad bitrei batel. V'efshar lomar b'kol achas shema achshav eino ochel esa isur hikilu bo, even midivrayim, even midrabanan, I'm allowed to eat all 3 one after the other. How does the Rashba understand the concept of bitul barov? This is a classic ruba the isa kaman called the parash ruba parash. There's no third category. There's no ruba kukulo. According to the Rush, I can take all 3 pieces and eat them simultaneously, because they're all mutter, rubo kukulo. According to Rashba, I can't. I can take them one after another and say, kol deparish mi rubo parish. called the parish and reparish. And the third one called the parish and reparish. Where's the Iser? I must have eaten it. But it was mutter when I ate it because I applied the principle of called the parish and reparish. Namely, that this new limud of the Rosh, heter nefach lios Iser, is the Rosh. But the Rashba disagrees. Yes?
Once you eat the first piece, your robe is gone, no?
No. In other words, there were three pieces. I can apply the principle of called the parish and reparish to all three pieces. I apply the principle to each of them. There were three pieces, right? I take the three pieces, and I put one on the side over here, one on the side over here, and one in the center. I say, this one called the parish and reparish, this one called the parish and reparish, this one called the parish and reparish. Therefore, I can eat one, two, three. I can't eat them all together, because that already would be, in other words, there's no called the parish, all right? But as long as I eat them one by one, it's fine. There's a Tosus Rid in Baba Basra. The Tosus Rid in Baba Basra on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis paskins that if I eat all three, I'm chayev achatas. I can only eat using. using the svara that there is a mamonashach I have over here in Isur. I can eat one. I can eat two. I can't eat all three. If I eat all three, I'm chayev achatas. The difference between Tosas Rid and the Rashba is a question of details. But they're both using the same principle. The question is, how far does the principle go? Can you have like a tarta de sasre? You know, it's kind of a case of shnei shvilin. I have two shvilin, I have a kever under one of the drachim, one of the shvilin. Two people walk, you know, one over this shvil, one over that shvil. When they come to ask me a question, as long as they ask me separately, each of them is tohar. If they come to ask together, then, you know, it's maybe we will say, Tame. So over here, the question is, how does that apply to the three pieces that are on the table? Do we say, you know, it's that as long as I take them one at a time, tohar, 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 or do we say that the bottom line is that we add them all together and kanered that I ate, again, b'shogig, but kanered that I ate something that was aser. In other words, but the commonality between the Tosas Rid and the Rashba is that the Iser is here. We don't have a concept of Iser nefach yos heter. We have two pieces of heter and one of iser. Question is, how do you deal with that situation? Right? So the Rashba says, as long as we eat them one at a time, we can have, halachically, we are dealing with it properly. Call the parish of a parish. Call the parish of a parish. So there's reason you can't eat them all. You have to at least leave one, because otherwise you're going to have a situation of a manafshach that you ate an iser. So let's summarize to this point. The taros we're talking about is what's called yavesh b'yavesh, three pieces, each of which stands on its own two feet. Right, each of it has its own independent identity. So we see in a taros yavesh b'yavesh, we have a din of chad b'trei batel, achrei rabim lahatos. Which din of achrei rabim lahatos is it? The Rosh says it's a din of rubo kakulo, heter nefach lios iser. The Rashba and the Tosfos Rid say it's a din of Ruba de Isa Kaman called the Parish, Miruba Parish. Nafgamina between the Rosh and the Rashba and the Tosfos Rid is, can I eat them together? Rosh says yes. Tosfos Rid and the Rashba say, Bashum Panim, it's impossible. If I eat them together, there's no called the Parish, Miruba Parish. So far, so good? Okay. Now let's move over to the next type of tarovis. So far we dealt with yavesh b'yavesh. And in yavesh b'yavesh, we had a machokes rishonim that the Rashba and the Tosfos Rid said this is an example of called the Russian parish. There's no new third category. The Rosh over here builds a new category, Rubo Kakulo, from Sanhedrin, Iser Nefach Lios Heter, in Yavesh B'Yavesh. What happens if we have Lach B'Lach? Let's take a very, very simple situation. I have a glass of milk. And then someone comes in and says, you'll never guess what I have here. I have a glass of pig milk. And then, oh no, his pig milk spills into my glass of milk. And now we have min b'mino, right? We have lechora, what appears to be milk and milk. We'll see if that's min b'mino or not, but let's assume, for the time being, this is min b'mino. We have milk and milk. We have a tarovis. Most of it is cow milk. A part of it is pig milk. What is the status of this milk? Can I drink it? Can I continue drinking this milk? So the Gemara says, yes, midoraisa, certainly. We have a din of achrav mlahatos. The question is, how? How do I drink this milk? Let's take according to each side. According to the Rosh, how do I drink this milk? Based on what principle? Ruba kukula. There's no difference, according to the Rosh, between the three pieces of meat on the table and this milk. We have a taroves. My nafkamina, if it's yavesh b'yavesh, or if it's lach b'lach, we have a taroves. We say rubo kukulo, the rove is heter, so the entire thing is heter, so I can just go ahead now and drink the entire glass of milk. It's the same principle. There's no difference, according to the Rosh, between, this is the Sanhedrin, lach b'lach, yavesh b'yavesh, it's all one and the same. We say rubo kukulo. So far, so good? However, what about the Rashba and Tosas Rid? How are they going to deal with bitul barov in lach b'lach? How are they going to deal with it? So if you can't apply kol to parish but parish, there's no way of separating out. You know, it's then I could pick up a piece and say this piece is heter. What am I going to do now? Take a medicine dropper and say what? It's all mixed together, right? Every drop has in it a little bit of pig's milk and a rove of cow's milk. So, you know, how do I separate? How do I deal with kol to parish? How do we deal with the principle of bitul barov and lach b'lach according to the Rashba and the Tosas Rid? That's our problem. Okay. Now let's go try and understand that, and then we'll be able to move into the concept of Tam and into Siman Tzadichet. Okay. There is a tshuva of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan that has been published in the Be'er Yitzchak. That's his tshuvas on Yoredeya Siman Yud, in which he brings in a Rambam. Rambam in Sharavos Atuma. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. The very end of the first Perek. Not the very end, close to the very end. At the very end, okay. What? Hilchos Sharavos Hatuma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. Last Halacha. What? The end of Perek Aleph. End of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Sharavos Hatuma. Nevela Shenisarva Bishchuta. Let's say that we have a tray. And on this tray, we have pieces of nevela, and we have pieces of shkuta. Im rov min hashkuta, let's assume that the tray has 10 pieces, and 6 are shkuta, and 4 are nevela. Im rov min hashkuta, betela hanevela bashkuta, ve'ein hakol metame b'maga. Aval im nosa hakol, nitma. She'ef shar l'shkuta she'takzor nevela, avol nevela efshar she'titoher k'she'tisrach l'fikach tibotel. What is Rambam saying over here? The Rambam says that if we have a tray, the Rambam is dealing with Tumah V'Tahara. We have a tray that has on it 6 pieces that are tohar, 6 pieces of shkuta, and 4 pieces that are tameh. So the Rambam says that if I touch the pieces, then I'm tahar. If I carry the tray, then I'm tameh. If I touch the pieces one by one, then I'm tahar. 6 pieces are tahar, 4 pieces are tameh. We have no idea which is which. They all look the same. Ram says, if I touch them, tumas maga, I remain tahar. If I carry the tray with all 10 pieces on it, then I am tameh. Can anyone explain to me that principle according to
any approach that we have on the board. Yes?
Is he carrying them all together, or is he touching them separately?
So this is whom? Who would say this?
For the Lord wrote the Rash.
This is the... Exactly. Had the Rambam understood Bitul like the Rush, I should be able both to touch them and to carry them, because Iser Nehefach Lios Heter, Tuma Nehefach Lios Tohar, this din of the Rosh is a din drabanan. The Rosh says that's a din drabanan. Tumas maga is a din drabanan, because Meikar Hadin, there's no reason, Tumas Masa, I'm sorry, is din drabanan, there's no reason, it's Bitul, we have Bitul, Ruba Kukulo. You have a din of Ruba Kukulo, you have 10 pieces, Yavesh Pi Yavesh, you know, etc. So the Rambam over this, the Rambam over here, we can add in now that the Rambam, we can add in the Rambam to this equation, because we use the Rashba and Tosfos Rid, that as long as we can say, called the Rosh Ruba Parish, I touch this one, 60-40, it's Tahar. I touch this one, 60-40, it's Tahar. I can go touch all of them, and I'll be Tahar. Maybe according to Tosfos Rid, I'll be Tahar, but according to the Rashba, let's say. If I touch all of them, I'm still Tahar, as long as I do it one by one. But if I pick them up, the bottom line is, that's like eating them all together. If I pick them up, then I'm dealing with them as a whole. There's tumah there. There's tumah there. I can't be mitalein the fact there is tumah there, and that's why I have a problem. In other words, this is the equivalent of touching, of eating them one by one or eating them together. Touching tumas maga is one by one by its nature. Tumas maga is a local touch. Tumas masa by its nature is I deal with the entire group as a whole. That explanation is given over here in the Kesef Mishnah. He quotes from the Mahari Korkus. Okay, but that's that. I mean, exactly what you're saying. Okay, beautiful. The problem is the previous halacha in the Rambam. The previous halacha in the Rambam is as follows: the hema sheshofa chareres dam. If we have an animal who has exudes blood, and in this blood, kanirah, there was the beginning of a fetus that never developed. That's already enough of a leida that a child becoming an ego coming afterwards would not be a bechor. But eino mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa l'fi shehi b'teila b'rov hayotze ima. That whatever fetus there may have been there is batel in terms of all of the blood which is there. It's all, you know, we have over here a situation where we can't see the fetus at all. We know it's there. We know that there was a leida, but therefore eino mitame lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. It's irrelevant if I touch the mixture or if I lift it on a tray. What's the problem over here? If we're working like the Rashba, according to the Rush, is this okay? Yeah. According to the Rush, yeah, it's fine. This is a lach b'lach. Lach b'lach, we say Rubo kukulo, right? Heter nef Easter nefachlios heter tuma nefachet liotor. Everything is fine, but the Rambam is paskining like the Rashba. Rubo disa kamon is built on kol deparish rubo parish. That applies to tumas maga. Touch here, touch here, touch here, touch here. Tumas masa is when I lift it all up together. My nafgamina, if I'm lifting this bloody mess up together, or I'm lifting the tray with the 10 pieces. In each of them I have a rove of tahara and a miut of tuma. So the Mari Kurkus asks this question, and he says, V'yimtomar maishnod b'charoras dam de besamuch de mishum bitul b'rov eina matama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa v'hocha ein bitul b'rov mo'il elo l'maga v'lo l'masa v'tirates Mari Kurkus de charoras dam shayni. That's what we're looking for. Why do we have bitul according to the Rashba in Lach B'lach? The chararas dam shayni shebotel bitul kinis arva hacharara bedam ubeginunin v'nimches behem havi hakol kmodam v'ginunin v'ein kan od dover she yitame aval kan by the case pieces of meat ein lo markein de ba'ape nafshakoi. What is the Mari Kurko saying? Very simply, when we're dealing with Yavesh B'Yavesh, each piece on its own, then there's no way of saying that we have over here a loss of identity, a loss of existence. However, when we have Lach B'Lach, the concept of Tarobas Lach B'Lach is that the Isur dissipates physically, Mitzius, it loses its identity.
it self-destructs. Namely, that according to the Rashba, Lach V'Lach is not built on Ruba De'isa Kaman. According to the Rush, according to the Rashba and the Rambam, in Lach V'Lach we have Bitul B'Metzius. Physically, the item has lost its identity. Ruba Kekulo is Bitul B'Halacha. Al Pidim, Isur Nehefach Liyos Heter. Here we're dealing with that, in other words, that only that applies even to Yavesh B'Yavesh. But according to Rashba, no, Yavesh B'Yavesh, there's no Bitul. Each piece has its identity. We don't know which is which, but each piece has its identity. Lach B'Lach, the principle is that when something is mixed in with a majority, when an Isur is mixed in with a majority of Heter, the Isur loses its identity. It dissipates. It simply, what word am I thinking of? It dissolves. It is
subsumed,
but in other words, it simply is what?
Absorbed.
Okay, whatever word you want to use. It's batel, right? It's batel b'metzius. It's batel b'metzius. No longer exists. Self-destructive. It. Sometimes you can water something down to the point where it loses its. Like you have grape juice. At a certain point, you keep adding water to grape juice. It's no longer grape juice. That's beetle. That's what we're talking about over here, beetle. It's no longer grape juice. You wouldn't make a bracha bar piyagafet. It already has lost its identity as grape juice because it is too watered down. Over here, this fetus is so watered down by the dam, it's no longer a fetus. It lost its identity. Okay, so we have then over here a double machlokas, which stem one from the other, between the Rashba and the Rush. One is, what is the din of Bitul Varoba Yavesh B'Yavesh? Is it another example of Kol Parshim V'Parish with limitations that we spoke about? You have to eat them one at a time, may have to leave one over. Or is it a din of Rubo Kukulo, Isr Na Nefach Liyoseter? Secondly, what is the din of Lach B'Lach? Is Lach B'Lach a din of Isr Nefach Liyoseter? In other words, the Rush can be consistent. According to the Rashba, we have to come on to a new principle. A new principle that the Isr no longer exists in Mitzius. And that is only in Lach B'Lach, not in Yavesh B'Yavesh. Only when you have an Isur dissolving in a Heter, Lach B'Lach, we could speak about it losing its identity. If you simply have a pile of Isur and Heter together, it has its identity. We don't know where it is, but it's there, according to the Rashba. So over here, you have Tumas Masa, and over here, there's not even Tumas Masa, because the Isur no longer exists. Okay? That's what the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan quotes this Ma'ari Kurkos is saying. Which is what the Ma'ari Kurka says in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. This is what the Rashba and the Tosfos Reed would say in the world of Machalos Asuras. Yes?
Is it possible to say this only when you have something which is Yavesh and melts down to become a Lach? We're applying it even to a case where it's still the same Lach that it was.
Lost you.
Meaning, by the Nevela, it was a piece of bus, so it's just like the Nevela surrounded the tray, and then it changed its state. We can see it physically. It melted down to become...
Yes.
To become a liquid. When you have the chalav chazer and the chalav...
The difference between Yavesh B'Yavesh and Lach B'Lach is that in Yavesh B'Yavesh, each piece has its own identity. In Lach B'Lach, the two merge. And you no longer can... Every drop of the compound, or of... not really a compound. What's the other word? Not a compound, but a...
Mixture.
Every drop of the mixture has gam v'gam. There's no way of separating. That's Yavesh B'Yavesh, yes? That's Lach B'Lach, I'm sorry.
Were the two issues that would be raised?
Two issues I raised was that we have Yavesh B'Yavesh and Lach B'Lach. Each of them we have Machlokas Rishonim how to understand. The Rush is consistent. Both Yavesh B'Yavesh and Lach B'Lach are a din of Isur Nefach Liyos Heter. There's no need to come on to any new principles other than this principle. The din of Bitul Barov is Ruba Kukulo. That's the Chiddush of the Rush. Once you have that Chiddush, then the principle of Bitul B'Tarovas is one principle Meikar Hadin across the board. Throughout from Simon Tzarichet through the end of Kufyut, we have one principle of Isur Nefach Yoseter. According to the Rashba, the moment that he subsumes Yavesh B'Yavesh under Kol D'Parish, that only applies to Yavesh B'Yavesh. By nature, it can't apply to Lach B'Lach because there's no Kol D'Parish in Lach B'Lach. There's no way of taking piece out, piece by piece. So in Lach B'Lach, we'll explain the Rashba like the Rambam in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. that over here we have a concept of bitul in which kamisha eino. It loses its identity by being diluted. The dilution causes it to lose its identity. How much does it have to be diluted to lose its identity? That we'll see. But it loses its identity. Now we're assuming rove is enough. Maybe, but we'll see later on, it may require shishi, maybe require something else, but it loses its identity in some ratio, and that ratio gives us the heter to drink the milk. Yes?
How does Tosus Rid fit into this?
Tosus Rid, the Ikaron, is like the Rashba, but with a Chumrah. Namely, a Mamanafshach. You can't have a situation in which Mamanafshach, you ate the Iser. But that applies as long as the Iser is extant in Yavish B'Yavish. In Lach B'Lach, there's no Iser. Right, we have a daya like the Tosus Rid in Lach B'Lach, but that's a Tana. We have a Tana who says, Rav Yehuda, who says that min b'mino ain't no bato. Min b'mino could be one in a million, ain't no bato. That's a day of Rav Yehuda. Unfortunately, there's a Rashi passing that way, which messes up all sorts of things in Pesach Halacha, but we don't, generally it's good to dasiach, we don't pass in that way. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold of this principle. He just doesn't hold of it. He says, what do you mean? That dilution should cause it to lose its identity? Why? It's still there. It's still there in minute amounts, and therefore, ain't no batel, because to get the bitul, you have to come on to kol de parish. And over here, there's no kol de parish. How will the Rosh explain Rav Yehuda? He'll say, well, Rav Yehuda is like the Rashba. In other words, we don't pass it that way. We pass it like Rabbanan. Rabbanan hold mimimino is batel chad betray. Right? And Rav Yehuda says mimimino. We'll talk about mimimino, mimimisho, mimimino separately. But just to us pointing out that there is a day in the Tanoim that this principle of bitul mimitzius doesn't get off the ground. Doesn't get off the ground. We only have a din of kol deparish. We don't have a din of something who loses its identity. Okay, pretty much. Let me just see. I think this is what I wanted to. Yeah, I think we'll stop over here. There's enough to think about. What we're going to be moving to is as follows. I just want to give a number of nafkaminas from other areas of halakha, of this basic mahalach in the Rashba and the Rush, just for the Varf Bekiyus. That's all. Just that you should be aware that it has a lot of, you know, that's the Ber Yitzchak goes into comments on Pesach and Kilayim, etc. But then to move over, okay. How does now ta'am mix into this matter? In other words, what's the difference between min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino, etc.? That'll be the next stage of the Hakdama, and then you'll be able to understand. You can still learn the Yoredeya before the next Chabura, but hopefully understand it a little better after the next Chabura in terms of one more factor that gets involved. In other words, we've been assuming up to now that everything is the same. If it's not the same, there's no tarovas. What if it's the same in terms of appearance, but things may taste differently? How does that interfere or affect the din of bitul? What if we have two things that may have different names of Iser? Like we spoke about Cholav Chazir, Cholav Para. Is that really the same or not? Maybe Cholav Para Trefa and Cholav Para Ksheru, that's the same. But Cholav Chazir and Cholav Para, maybe these are two separate dinim, two totally different worlds. Okay, that we'll come to next time, and then we'll move straight into Siman Sarichet.
Okay.
What?
Should we work on the Hakdama?
I would suggest that you open up Siman Sarichet and that you begin. In other words, and the Beis Yosef is a wonderful teacher. And if you want to skip his teaching, you begin with the Shulchan Aruch. Just you know, have in mind that you may not necessarily understand. You'll be able to get the what's. The why's is what we're going to fill in. The what you'll be able to understand without anything. So learn Kitzur.
The shulim that sometimes is not based on